More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, drama class. Would you like to escape relationship drama? Well, let us help you discover how to rewrite the script and celebrate a more peaceful life. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with it.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, drama class, we're talking about conflict and all the drama that we have to deal with in our relationships, whether they are in our marriage, our family life, if our friends, a parish, whatever, work. The fact is, there is no end to the drama.
No end.
Even when we'd like there to be. So we want to help you manage all that drama and conflict gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and let us help you discover ways to rewrite the script and celebrate a more peaceful life and more harmonious relationships. 877-573-7825.
Well, as you said, there is no end to the drama. Somebody's always going to try to make drama in our lives. Things happen. But how much of that we participate in and we internalize is very much dependent on our decision-making in that. Do we want to participate in this? What do we do to help calm the drama in a problem-solving way, not just in hushing everybody up? Are we peacemakers in the situation in a just way? All of these things really are something that we can bring more of ourselves to rather than just being thrown into the cesspool of the drama, or even choosing to escalate it because it's making us feel crazy and we get very involved in it. So there are a lot of things here that we can do to decide what's going to happen with all this drama that's happening in our lives.
So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
So are you tired of walking on eggshells around someone who takes offense at everything? When you have a disagreement with someone, do you feel like you spend more time managing their emotions than actually solving the problem? When you try to bring up a concern to your spouse, or your teen, or your adult child, or your parent, or other family member, or even a friend, do they get defensive and make it about them? Have you gotten used to avoiding conflict so much that you can't even bring yourself to tell the people you love what you actually need, or even remember what you actually need? Or has someone made you feel like you are the bad guy every time you try to set a simple, reasonable boundary? Let us help you escape the drama, rewrite that script, and build the kind of peaceful, loving relationships God created you to have.
877-573-7825. There are lots of ways that drama wears us out and gets us all twisted up. Let us help you resolve those relationship dramas, whether they are with your kid, your spouse, and then when I say kid, younger or adult kid, your spouse, family member, friend, whoever it is that you are in conflict with or having drama with. We want to help you rewrite that script. 877-573-7825.
And there's the day-to-day drama. And certainly, you know, when I said, are you tired of walking on eggshells? I think a lot of us have those people in our lives. But then there are just times where it gets kind of turned up. And I saw some of that this weekend with Holy Communions going on, First Holy Communions. Saw a couple of brides getting ready for things. There are certain things, even within the sacramental life of our church, that ramp things up. When you're in a large crowd of people where everybody thinks it has to be perfect, the baby shower, the wedding reception, blah, 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 the graduation. Everybody was graduating this weekend. Where we want it to be perfect, we're with people that are imperfect, and things just kind of go kaflooey.
Talk about this weekend. You know, we had some friends who were graduating, and they had some family members that they didn't get along with well showing up, and then that created some conflict in the family and kind of, you know, really a lot of tension.
The poor graduation person had to deal with all of that, and because everybody wanted to be part of something, and nobody really cared about what that person was needing to do or celebrate.
So, you know, there are lots of things that cause drama. We want to help you manage all of them gracefully. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll help you manage conflict and drama, however it is affecting you and stealing your peace.
And if you're thinking, I wish I had you making this whole conversation happen before this weekend or before this situation, we can help you fix it, even though it's happened now, and work on it not happening.
Yeah, I mean, you can't go back in the past, but you can move forward with some new strategies for healing the relationship and making sure that, like you said, Lisa, it doesn't happen again.
That's right.
All right, well, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, reasonably, you might be wondering, well, how could some theology help me manage conflict and drama? Well, turns out it can do a lot for you. So, here's the thing. St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked a huge question. Basically, he said, look, if we take everything God's given us, creation, scripture, salvation, history, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for living a healthier, holier life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what we all now call the theology of the body.
The theology of the body reminds us that God wants to heal the damage that sin does to our relationships. Learning to handle conflict is part of that process. But for a lot of us, conflict really feels unsafe. Someone creates a crisis, everyone scrambles to manage the fallout, and then nobody actually solves the problem. That's not conflict. That's drama. And there's a huge difference.
Yeah, I want to say that again, right? There's a difference between conflict and drama. And, you know, when people say that they're afraid of conflict, most people really aren't. They're afraid of drama. And there's a good reason for that. Because drama is what happens when someone doesn't know how to handle a problem. So instead of trying to work toward a solution, they create an emotional crisis that forces everyone else around them to run around fixing things. Drama is blame-centered. It asks, who did this, and what's wrong with you, and shame on you, and what are you going to do about it? But healthy conflict is the opposite. It says, okay, help me understand what you were trying to do, and how can we work together so that we can both get what we need? One tears relationships apart, the other actually draws people closer.
You know, and if you grew up in a house where every disagreement turned into a production, it makes total sense that you'd want to avoid any kind of friction. But that desire for peace, now that's actually the Holy Spirit telling you that your relationships were made for something better than the drama you grew up with. You're not broken for wanting more. You're responding to the way God designed you.
So, if you're stuck in someone else's drama, or you've been avoiding conflict because it always goes sideways and creates drama, try this. The next time tension rises, take a dramatic pause. Don't jump in, and instead ask yourself, what does this situation actually need from me right now? That one shift from reacting to responding can really rewrite the whole script. And we can ask God for the grace to be receptive instead of reactive, and then take that next step toward identifying the need behind the tension and problem-solving with that person. Now, this all might sound good in theory, but the fact is it's hard to apply in practice, and so we want to help coach you through that. So give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let us help you manage all the conflict in your life and resolve the drama on today's show titled drama class. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, then we'll start taking your questions. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we bring to you the conflicts that we have with the people that we care about or at least have to deal with. And we ask you, Lord, to give us the grace to not react to those people or those situations, but rather to be able to stay calm, to stay strong, to be compassionate and curious instead of condemning. Help us to be able to approach that person in a way that allows us to identify the need or the goal or the intention behind their actions and words, to remind them that we are on their side and that we want to help them get their needs met as long as they can be respectful to us and work with us to meet our needs as well. Help us to not be afraid of conflict and to see it instead as the tension that exists as two people are working together to come closer to each other and remove the obstacles to closeness in their relationship. And help us to be able to avoid drama that just simply adds to the damage that sin does to those relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled Drama Class, and we're talking about conflict in all of its forms and all the ways it affects our relationships. If you are trying to escape some relationship drama in your own life, we want to help you rewrite the script and celebrate a more peaceful life. 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, we have a question that came in from Susan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Kentucky. She says, my mother-in-law has turned every family gathering into a production for as long as I can remember. Last Easter, she got upset that we arrived 20 minutes late, called my husband crying before we even got our coats off, and spent the rest of the day making pointed comments about how some people don't value family. My husband...
All right, that just caught me off guard.
My husband just shuts down when she does this, and I end up being the one who tries to smooth things over, which means I'm the one she targets next. I've tried talking to her calmly. I've tried giving her space. I've tried just ignoring it. Nothing changes. My friends at church keep telling me to offer it up and honor your mother-in-law. And I get that, but I'm starting to resent even picking up the phone when she calls. How do I stop getting pulled into her drama without blowing up my husband's relationship with his mom? And that's Susan in Kentucky.
All right, Susan, thank you for the question. I want to start by helping to kind of reset the criteria, because the way you're framing this, when you say at the end, for example, how do I stop getting pulled into my mother-in-law's drama without blowing up my husband's relationship with his mom? What you're really asking there is, how can I solve the problem while keeping everybody happy and keeping the status quo? And you can't, right? The boat is going to have to be rocked. All right, there's no way forward without doing that. Now, when we know that, very often we feel that creating conflict is a problem. We shouldn't do that, right? So then we become paralyzed. I don't do anything because I don't want to make my husband unhappy. I don't want to upset my mother-in-law because that would make me a bad person. Here's the thing we need to keep in mind as Christians in relationship. When we are, the criteria we have to follow as Christians is, what is going to enable me? How do I respond to this in a way that allows me to be my best self, challenges the people around me to be their healthier, holier selves, and works for the good of the relationship? When I say the good of the relationship, I don't just mean the good of the status quo. I mean for a healthier relationship moving forward, right? So that's your job as a Christian. It's not to make everybody happy. It's not to smooth everything over. It's not to maintain the status quo. It's to try to work so that you can be your best self, to lovingly challenge your mother-in-law to be her best self, your husband for that matter, and to work for the good of the relationship. So what would be good? What would be good for the relationship in this situation? Well, instead of the passive-aggressive silliness and game-playing, I think it would be important. One good thing to work toward would be for mom to be able to directly communicate with you and you be able to directly respond to things. So when she says comments like, some people don't really value family life.
Because you're 20 minutes late on an Easter Sunday.
I think it's okay to directly say, mom, I'm really sorry that that's how you feel. Is there something that we need to talk about that you'd like to address with us directly? Or is there something else going on? Just gently take the implicit and make it explicit. And then see how she wants to deal with it. Chances are she'll go, no. But you will have made the point that there is a healthy way to address this problem, which you are happy to do, and an unhealthy way to address it, which you're not happy to do. You're not causing conflict. You're not accusing her of anything. You're empathizing. You're saying, I'm really sorry that you're feeling that way. Is there something that we need to talk about so that we can get to a better place about this? Or is there something else just going on? You give her a way out, but you make it clear that if we're going to talk about this, we're going to talk about it directly.
And that will not blow up your husband's relationship with her. You are giving her a chance to state truth directly instead of this passive-aggressive nonsense where she feels like she's doing something, condemning you all, but nothing ever gets changed. And you're giving her a chance to be a grown-up, not by yelling and screaming, not by calling her out, just asking her the way Greg just said. That won't blow up your relationship, your husband's relationship with his mother, because you haven't caused drama. You've just given her an opportunity to stop being passive-aggressive about things and just have an honest conversation.
To provide a little bit of context for this, though, too, I don't think this is really about you. Her behavior isn't about you. I think this is the way she manages disappointment or frustration or anxiety, right?
I think mostly anxiety, I'd guess.
This is something that she learned in her own family of origin that she's playing out with you, and that's why your husband doesn't, that's why he shuts down,
because this has been going on his whole life.
Right? It's not about you. It's not about him. It's about any time she feels frustrated or overwhelmed or disappointed or anxious, this is how she's learned to deal with it, and it's problematic. It's not healthy, but it's also not about you, so you don't have to take it personally. You can address the offense. I'm not saying tolerate it. I'm saying you can address the offense as a Christian would by lovingly challenging her to address things in a healthier way, like I suggested, right? Without causing more drama yourself. But just keep in mind that it's also not about you. So you're not feeling like, oh, well, here she goes again, picking on me or being passive aggressive with me. That's just how she is.
Yeah, and I would wholeheartedly agree that this is probably coming very much from a place of needing to be reassured that she's loved, needing to be reassured that she's doing well and perfectly. So on a holiday especially, her anxiety is going to be elevated. So by the time you walk through the door 20 minutes late, and anybody can be 20 minutes late, especially on a holiday, because there's a lot, stop for pictures after church, whatever it is, she's gone to a place where they've abandoned me. They don't love me. And so you're getting this passive-aggressive, you don't really care about family stuff. So handling in this very direct but calm way could at least set that boundary that isn't a hard boundary, isn't a hysterical boundary, just says we ain't playing this game anymore.
Right. Susan, thank you so much for the question. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here on the show or CatholicCounselors.com. For follow-up, our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, could be a great resource to help you, help guide your relationship moving forward with your mother-in-law. Thanks again for the call. 877-573-7825 is the number for you to call, listeners, to talk about the conflict in your life and find healthy, grace-filled ways to resolve the drama in all of your relationships. When we come back, more of your calls. Plus, we'll be joined by Jacob Flores Popchak. He is a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He'll be sharing some insights that he shares with his clients about how to prevent those awkward moments in drama. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
Have you ever been so grief-stricken and so heart-sick that you can't see God? You can't see God in the tragedy. You can't see God in that cross. You can't see God in that sin. Why? You're enveloped in that grief. You're enveloped in fear. And God is out the window. You don't see Him standing right next to you.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, drama class. We're talking about conflict and relationship drama and how to resolve it gracefully. 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Jacob Flores Popchak. He's a pastoral counselor with CatholicCounselors.com. He's an expert on practical application of theology of the body. He's also a published author and illustrator. Jacob, welcome to More to Life.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So there are lots of times when things can get awkward in our relationships, especially when there's a lot of drama, and we can tend to want to just sort of do whatever we need to do to smooth it over. You tell your clients that that's probably not the best thing to do, though.
Yeah, generally speaking, that's only going to perpetuate the drama, put it away for a little while, and then make it explode a lot worse later on. But the reason that we get into that pattern is because most of us have the wrong idea of what the feeling of awkwardness is supposed to indicate in our bodies. All of our feelings, as you guys often discuss in this program, are really meant to sort of alert us to the presence of different needs or actions that we need to take, like sort of smoke alarms or dashboard alerts, right, in our hearts and minds, so to speak, right? And most of us are used to assuming that awkwardness means that something is amiss and I need to do something about it. But that's not what the feeling of awkwardness means at all. And I'm going to kind of give a quick analogy that I offer my clients to help with this. If you've been to an airport recently, recently meaning any time in the last 20 years, you will have heard a spiel go on the speakers of whatever airport you go to. And it will say, do not handle or pick up unattended baggage. Report immediately to whomever, right?
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because there is a scam that has sometimes been observed where someone who wants to smuggle something will put it in a bag and then leave it in the middle of an airport terminal. And some do-gooder will feel awkward about that bag sitting there. And they'll go, well, surely I should drop that off at Lost and Found or something. And so they will try to go out of their way to be nice, and they'll pick up that bag, and then they will end up sort of smuggling unawares the thing for the person who dropped it off in the first place, right? And make themselves, implicate themselves in the scam. And so you're supposed to not pick up other people's baggage. And that's what the feeling of awkwardness really is on an emotional level. It's that somebody else has done something for which they should be ashamed, but they are not picking up their own bag, and they've just left it in the middle of the airport terminal of relationship. And you, as a do-gooder, are feeling like, maybe I should just pick up their bag for them. That's what the awkward feeling is. It's really an alert in your body that someone else has done something inappropriate, and you, as a kind person, are wanting to make up that difference. But it's important to recognize that, just like in the analogy, if you pick up that bag, you are likely to inadvertently or accidentally make things explode, right? you got to let the airport security of life sort of do its job. You got to let God do his job. You got to let other people in the situation do their job. You have to be okay letting that bag sit there. Because if you do, if you let the reality of that person's awkwardness just kind of sit there, you're not going to lecture them about it and convince them, oh, you did a bad thing, but you're not going to save them from it either. You're just going to let them kind of deal with the shame of having that bag just sit there. Eventually, they will do something about it. You don't have to laugh just to make them feel better about the really mean joke that they made. You can let that sit there and have them pick up the bag of awkwardness. You don't have to be the first one to call after they've, you know, kind of screamed at you inappropriately and try to make peace, right? You can let the awkwardness sit there until they're forced to pick up their own bag and call, right? If we can learn that feeling of awkwardness is just our body's identifying of a sort of emotional time bomb bag in the airport, we can hopefully keep a little bit more hands off with it and let the other person eventually come around to picking up their own dang bag.
I love this imagery so much. I think you just let everybody off the hook because you've given them this imagery of, you know, this isn't about being a virtuous Christian. This isn't about being super kind. This isn't about trying to connect with that person. This is about, it's their bag. Don't be touching the bag. It's plain and simple. Do not touch the bag. Yeah. Let it sit there and let the people responsible for making sure it doesn't do anything crazy handle it, not us. I love it.
Jacob, thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate those insights. Of course, it's easier said than done sometimes, so give us a call at 877-573-7825 if you're trying to figure out what to do with that awkward bag sitting around in your airport terminal of a relationship. You can also learn more about Jacob's work by going to CatholicCounselors.com. Check it out. But we are taking your calls when More to Life continues after the break. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
Why does the Catholic Church obligate its members to attend Mass on Sundays? For Christians, Sunday, the first day of the week, or the eighth day, replaces the seventh day, the Sabbath, as the day to reserve for worshiping God. The Sabbath represents the completion of the first creation. When Jesus Christ arose from the dead on Sunday, he inaugurated the new creation. Thus, Sunday became the Lord's Day and is now the foremost holy day of obligation in the universal church, as we are told in the Catholic Catechism. We are bound to attend Mass under pain of grave sin unless there is a serious reason for not doing so. Sundays are also called to be a day of rest. Christians are bound to abstain from work which impedes worshiping God and the joy of the Lord's Day. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo.
John, chapter 8, verse 51. Jesus is in a discussion with some of the leaders of the Jews. They're talking about Abraham. Abraham lived 1,500 years before the time of Jesus. So in the course of the discussion, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." He says that often in the Gospels. "He who keeps my word or believes in me will never die." To which the Jews say, "Now we know you have a demon." And they say, "Abraham died, as did the prophets. All the patriarchs, the great men and women of the history of Israel. All these people died, and you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death? Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets, who died?" And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." To which the Jews say, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham?" And Jesus answers, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am."
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. When kids misbehave, it's common for parents to ask how they can stop the bad behavior. Usually the answer is some form of punishment. But punishment isn't a silver bullet. Sure, it might stop misbehavior for now, but it's not very effective in the long term. That's because it doesn't help kids heal the harm they've caused, and it doesn't give them the tools they need to handle things differently the next time. St. John Bosco had a better approach to discipline. He viewed discipline as a teaching opportunity, not a control problem. In his approach, parents coach kids through the process of healing the harm their behavior caused. And next, they help kids learn the skills and strategies they need to do better next time. St. Bosco's approach is called discipleship discipline because it treats kids as disciples or learners. It also reminds us of the loving way Jesus taught his own disciples. Discipleship discipline frees parents from being referees, constantly imposing penalties. Instead, parents coach kids through the hard work of improving their game. Discipleship discipline recognizes that parents and kids are really on the same team. To learn more about discipleship discipline, check out our book, Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or visit CatholicHOM.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Drama Class, as we talk about handling conflict. You know, and earlier in the show, we made a point that there's a difference between conflict and drama. Conflict is the tension that exists, healthy conflict anyway, is the tension that exists as two people are working together to try to remove the obstacles that stand between them in a closer relationship. And healthy conflict actually feels okay. And there's some tension, but it's okay. It's the tension that comes from working stuff out. When people say they fear conflict, they don't tend to fear conflict. They fear drama. And that's what we're talking about today. Drama, as opposed to healthy conflict, is when somebody doesn't know how to handle a problem. So rather than taking responsibility for it, they want to make it your problem. They yell, they scream, they shame, they blame, they accuse, they attack, they punish, all to make everybody else around them dance and fix it and make them feel better. And when we say that we fear conflict, that's what we're afraid of. Nobody likes that because it's not healthy. We weren't built to like that. Conflict, though, is just that, as I said, the tension that comes from two people kind of working through some stuff to remove the obstacles that stand between them in a closer relationship. And where drama is all about who did this and shame on you and what's wrong with you and you better fix that. Healthy conflict is, hey, there's this thing that's coming between us. What can we do about that? Because I'd like to be closer to you. Big difference. If you want to know how to transform the drama in your relationships to that healthier conflict that allows you and this other person to remove those obstacles to a closer, healthier relationship, let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825.
Well, we have a message here from Kevin, who's listening in Virginia, and he writes, "My wife and I cannot have a disagreement without turning it into a disaster. If I mention something small, like the fact that she forgot to pay a bill, she immediately gets defensive and brings up something I did wrong 3 months ago. Then I get frustrated and say something I regret. And we don't really talk for a couple of days until one of us pretends it didn't happen. My parents fought like this my entire childhood, and I swore I'd never do the same thing. But here I am. The worst part is I can see my kids watching us, and I know they're learning that this is what marriage looks like. I want to handle things differently, but I genuinely don't know how to have a conversation about a problem without it going off the rails. What does a normal, healthy disagreement look like?" Oh, I appreciate that final question
Kevin.
Because that is something that is very real. Most of us, especially those of us who are adults now and have children, right? We are in a place where our parents did not grow up in a time of insight, psychology, and good example. And so they did the best they could with the emotions and the skills that they had or did not have. And then we learned that. And so a lot of us were trying a lot harder to not repeat those things, are going, "But I don't know how to get from A to B because I've never seen B in my whole life. So what in the world do we do to have a healthy conversation?"
All right, Kevin. So remember how in the last call, if you were tuning in then, I said something about Susan's mother-in-law. It not being about Susan, you know, the passive-aggressive behavior that her mother-in-law was in. This isn't about you. Your wife's behavior isn't about you either. And that's an important insight, all right? It doesn't excuse the behavior, okay, but it does give you a way forward. Because if you're able to say, this is not a reaction to me, she's not deflecting whenever I try to point out that there's a problem. What she's saying is that she grew up in a house where it wasn't safe to be wrong, right? She grew up in a house where there was drama, the kind of drama that I was just describing right before we took your question. You know, the drama where, who did this? And shame on you for doing that.
And
what are you going to do to fix it?
It's about finding the blame. So as soon as you're the one blamed in any way, even if it's for something you didn't do or didn't intentionally do, you got to figure out how to blame somebody else, shift that blame to get the stress off of you, and it just spirals.
Yeah, and so this is a reaction. You know, we're in the show titled Drama, Drama Class. You know, one of the things that often happens in conflict is we follow scripts. She learned this script as a child, and she's just playing it out with you. It's like you push a button, that's, you know, the button being, hey, there's a problem, and that plays a recording in her head. I didn't do it. Find somebody else to blame. And you need to be able to get through that in order to have a productive conversation, because she at that point is in her child self mindset, that mindset where the emotional brain takes over and the fight, flight, freeze, or fawn reaction engages. And if you react to that, then you fall into your child self, where you describe kind of your tantruming child comes out and says, well, how dare you accuse me? It's not my fault. And it's not, right? So it's, you feel justified in going there. But if you cannot take it personally, if you can see, you know what, this isn't my wife reacting to me. This is my wife reacting to an old wound. And God has placed me in her life to help her heal that. Right? Then what you do...
And I will also, if I may add,
yeah, sure,
and to heal myself, because I didn't experience this either.
That's
so
right.
We are an invitation to each other.
That's right.
To grow in skills, to grow in love, to grow in patience, so that we can do better for each other and in our own souls.
Marriage is the sacrament that gives us the grace to heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to have relationships the way God wants us to have them, right? And so this is an opportunity for both of you to heal each other. But when she reacts to you that way, instead of getting your back up, I want you to take, and I want you to practice this, right? Like every day, I want you to wake up in the morning and say, okay, at some point today, I'm going to point something out to my wife that's a problem or that I'm concerned about. She's going to react that way, not because she's mad at me, but because she learned that it wasn't safe to make mistakes. And when she does that, I want to show her that it's safe to make mistakes with me, that I'm different than the people that she's experienced in her life before. And when she reacts that way and says, well, you're the one who, you want to say, we can talk about that if you like, honey, but I'm sorry that you felt on the, you know, put on the spot. I love you, and I'm not your enemy, and I promise you I'm not picking on you. What I'm asking is, how can we work together to take care of this bill that wasn't paid? Right? So you're empathizing, and then you're redirecting toward solutions. You're clarifying your intention, and you're redirecting toward solutions. You know, you say, the dishes are still not done, or whatever, you know. And she says, well, you can do the dishes too, you know, or you didn't do this. I understand, and I'm so sorry that you felt like I was putting you on the spot. That was not my intention. I'm not trying to be your enemy. I just want to have a conversation about how we can work together to get this taken care of. What do you think? And if she says, well, still, you're the one who, you think you're always, look, I get it. I understand that you feel like I put you on the spot. That is not my intention, and I'm sorry you felt that way. I'm just asking, how can we solve this problem? And if you want to talk about that other stuff that I need to do, that's fine. We can talk about that after. But first, let's figure out how we can handle this. Do you see what I'm doing over and over again? You're not taking it personally. You're not defending yourself, because there's nothing to defend. It's not about you. You're coming at her and you're helping. You're empathizing with the pain that she's in. And you're showing her that it's, despite the fact that it was never safe to make mistakes before, it's safe to make them with you. That's hard to do. But that's why we have grace, to build on our nature and do these kind of difficult things. Now, I talk about this a lot more in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. You can pick that up wherever books are sold or at CatholicCounselors.com. If you find that you're not able to follow through with this on your own and you need some support, then I hope that you will reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com, because this is an opportunity to heal. And at CatholicCounselors.com, we don't just help people resolve emotional or relational or other kind of problems. We help people do it in a way that enables them to be more effective disciples of Christ and really activate the graces of the sacraments to do the healing work that you guys are being called to do through this exchange. And I really hope that the advice that we're giving you here on the air will get you where you need to go. But if you need additional support, then my book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, is available at CatholicCounselors.com. Or you can learn more about the pastoral counseling services that we provide to get you over this hump. Thanks again for the question, Kevin. And you know where to find us. We're taking your calls right now at 877-573-7825. We're talking about drama. and conflict in all of our relationships. If you are tired of the drama, we want to help you rewrite the script and celebrate a more peaceful life and have more harmonious relationships. 877-573-7825. And as we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 9.
Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God.
Okay, peacemakers. I want to talk about what that means. You know, St. Augustine said that the peace was the tranquility that results from right order. So a peacemaker is not a smoother overer. Easy for me to say. A peacemaker is a guardian of the right order.
Now, this really goes back to Jacob Flores Popchak's piece at the half hour, which was really about if somebody else left a bag in the airport terminal, it's not your bag. That would be unjust to mess with
that
bag. Don't
pick up other people's
baggage.
Don't
pick up other people's emotional baggage here. Let the people responsible for that emotional baggage or who own the emotional baggage work it out. Being a peacemaker doesn't mean I've just got to fix everybody. I've got to do... God's put me in their life to correct in 5 minutes everything that's ever wounded them. No, that's actually just poking at the wound because it's not... You can't give them the justice they need and the time that they need. So it really goes back to... Being a smoother overer is picking up somebody else's emotional baggage. Don't do that.
Yeah, and it also applies to, you know, the idea that we were talking about with Susan in the first call of the day, where, you know, we were talking about how her job is not making everybody happy.
Especially her mother-in-law.
Her job is working for the good of the relationship. What would be the healthy thing to do here? And then stand for that. If it upsets people to be healthy, well, then they maybe need to be upset. You know, but our job isn't to make everything better. Our job is to make things, invite people to be healthier, and to be healthy ourselves. And by doing that, you know, we are building the kingdom. All right, when we come back, more with your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about drama and conflict in all of our relationships. How do we rewrite the script to have a happier ending to all that stuff? Give us a call. Let's work it out together.
This program is brought to you in part by the following organization. The Precip app provides rainfall history at specific locations without needing a rain gauge. It uses radar technology to show recent rainfall totals, long-term seasonal trends, and weather information at selected locations. More information can be found at precipapp.com. That's precipapp.com.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
That They May Be One, a docudrama featuring Cardinal Raniero Cantalamessa, Dr. Mary Healy, and Francis Chen, exploring how the Holy Spirit has been working across generations and denominations to answer the prayer of Jesus.
Church is meant to look like the church of the Acts of the Apostles. And if you read Acts, you see just how far we are.
In theaters May 19th and 20th. More information at thatthaymaybeonefilm.com.
Announcing again our popular St. Paul Mediterranean cruise and pilgrimage, visiting over 10 biblical sites. You'll never read the New Testament the same again after exploring Athens, Ephesus, Corinth, Thessalonica, Philippi, Crete, and the Greek Isles, and much more. Mass at Mary's House, our luxurious celebrity cruise liner, awaits you.
To learn more about your Ave Maria Radio trip, find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, the show is titled Drama Class, as we talk about relationship, conflict, and drama. How do we rewrite the script to enjoy a happier ending to those conflicts? Well, let's figure it out together. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Robin, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Massachusetts.
Hi, Robin. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, Dr. Greg. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, what can we do for you?
I was just listening to your radio show this morning, and I was like, you know what? I have something like that's so heavy on my heart, and it just, what you guys were talking about, like, really resonates with me, and then the advice you had given for other callers. So I'll try to make this so fast. Usually I'm long-winded.
You're good.
I like the people you talk about, and like your conflict resolution, like, come from, you know, a family of parents and grandparents who just never emotionally knew, like, that they could have these conflicts healthy, and they just learned the drama. And unfortunately, that was passed on, you know, to my siblings and especially my sister.
And you were sharing that with our screener that you came into the church recently, and that's causing a lot of conflict between you and your sister.
Well, we grew up we're one of eight. We were born and raised Irish Catholic. A lot of my siblings, my parents got divorced and left the church, but I stayed. My husband was from a different denomination, and it took us a long time, but he actually was just a catechumen, and even more especially, my children were this Easter. And
wow.
Somehow my sister hasn't been talking to me, and then she got wind of this, probably too, because my brother was a catechumen as well, as he lives with us. And she, more recently, the conflict is that we're Catholic, and she was Catholic up until last time I talked to her in the fall, but now I think she's taken a different turn. And she, you know, was worried for our salvation, especially mine. And she was, you know, she sent me this really long, upsetting text that I was, I didn't know Jesus, and I was instead relying on falsities and all that, and that the church doesn't really essentially mean a relationship with Jesus and
okay.
all that. Which,
Karen,
like,
you said something in passing, you just sort of dropped it. You said she wasn't speaking to you, but until she found out you became Catholic, and
yeah,
then she reached out. Is that, did I understand that correctly?
Yes, 100%.
So do you have any kind of relationship at all other than her picking on your faith?
I mean, sadly, in the last, like, 7-ish years, we don't have a good relationship.
You don't have any relationship, right? Because you don't have any contact, right, other than this. Is that my understanding?
It comes back. Like, I thought we were good this past. She sent me this, like, really nice message over the summer, and we started talking again. And it seemed really God based, so I was like, you know what, I think we'll be okay this time. And then later in the fall, she, like, just completely abruptly started acting cold and distant.
All right. So how can we help you now? Just for the sake of time,
I think it's just how I can go about handling the relationship, because the last time we spoke, you know, she told me all this stuff that I was doing wrong, and it just seems like that's always the MO in our relationship. Like, no matter what it is, now the focus is being Catholic, and I just I want to be more Christ-like, and I've always had a hard time in relationships where I've had to forgive and stuff, but it's been a focus in my life now, but it's sometimes it seems I'm a forgiver for peacekeeping rather than, like, actually
great. Well, let's talk about some of this stuff, and I can give you some good ways forward with all it. So it's not our job as Christians to make the relationships work all by ourselves, right? Like, even Jesus can't do that, right? Jesus suffered, died, and rose again so that we could have eternal life with him in heaven. But we can still reject him.
Yeah, because he allows for our free will.
He doesn't drag us kicking and screaming against our will into a relationship with him, and we can't either, right? We can make the conditions for a healthy relationship possible, but it's up to the other person to kind of walk through the door we open to them. So that's something to keep in mind here, right? It's not your job to, like, make everything work or smooth everything over. It's your job to kind of point a healthy way forward if your sister would like to take it. And that's what this would, and here's what that would look like in this situation. I think it's, you know, look, we can be offended as Catholics. I have a funny story, very briefly. We had some friends years ago who told us that they were going to some, you know, kind of storefront Bible church, whatever. And I was trying to be polite, and I was like, well, tell me, what is it that you guys believe? What drew you to that church? And she said, well, in our church,
In this tone of voice. Yeah. You're not, yeah. Yeah. No, you're not being
like,
mocking.
No, no, no. It's
truly
this tone literally of like how she said. Yeah. Well, in our church, we have something called salvation. I almost fell out of my chair. So my point in bringing that story up is like she's concerned for you, right? I mean, it's coming from a genuine place. It doesn't come off well, but I think you can give her we can give her some charity and say, all right, I appreciate she's concerned for my soul. Fine, I'm not going to take offense at that, right? What I am going to do though is handle the disrespect, right? I'm going to say, and what you say to her is, hey, listen. I appreciate your concern for my soul. This is where God has led me. I am praying. My husband and I are praying together. We are
our brothers praying with us.
We are confident in the journey that the Holy Spirit has led us on. And if you have questions that you'd like to discuss, I'd be happy to talk about that in a way if you would actually be receptive to what I have to say. If you just want to lecture or criticize me, I'm not interested in that. But if you can respect where God is leading us and you're genuinely interested in where we're at, I'd be happy to talk about that with you sometime. What do you think? And you put the ball in her court, because that's a healthy way forward. If she continues to be disrespectful or criticize you, you can say, well, you know, I'm not really interested in having this conversation. If you're really interested in what I have to say, we can talk about it, if you're willing to listen as well.
I want to hit on something that you're saying here, Greg, and that I'm inferring from what you're saying, which is, if you want to have this conversation, but more so, if you want to have a relationship with me. Because what's happening here is that at the moment, she's making you her project. She's doing it with the guise of working for your good, saving your soul, getting you over to her way of thinking, but not with listening, not with a sense of, we're both Christians, let's walk this road together and talk about our faiths together. It's, I've got to make this happen. I've got to fix this piece of equipment, who is my sister, making this choice that I disagree with. Not only because she believes slightly differently from you, but because you're triggering all of her childhood pain. And she's saying, I don't want to deal with anybody who's going to trigger this childhood pain. My parents fell away. This happened, that happened, all this drama happened, and it was all surrounded by the fact that we were Catholic. How can they do this to me? Suddenly, your decisions to heal and to find the fullness of truth in your spiritual life is triggering childhood stuff for her, but it's also coming in as the guise of, and my church thinks that Catholics don't have salvation, so I can turn my sister and probably my brother into my project. So you're saying, hey, we can discuss this if you want to have a real relationship about this, get closer about this, but you also need to make sure, kind of gird your loins, so that you don't end up making her a project. This can't turn into an Instagram reel where you're talking about all the things that are true and good and beautiful about the Catholic Church, and she's talking about all the things she finds true and good and beautiful in her church, and that's all you're doing, because that's just a project. That's not a relationship.
What I would suggest, though, as a way forward, is also to say to her, hey, look, you know, I know we don't see eye to eye on a lot of theological points or points of doctrine, but we both love the Lord.
Right.
And I'd love it if we could get together sometime to just pray for our families or to pray for each other, you know, and to really... And you might say, we're Catholic and we say Catholic prayers and she doesn't... We can all pray together. The beauty of the Catholic Church...
You don't have
Church,
to use rote prayer.
Yeah, the beauty of the Catholic Church is that we have so many more spiritual resources than our Protestant brothers and sisters do. We can meet them where they're at. And show them, you know, some of the beauty of our tradition as well as they become open to it. But we can meet them where they're at. And so I say, you know, for now, you know, first of all, set that line in the sand about, hey, look, you know, we can talk about all these questions you've got as long as we can approach them respectfully and you're willing to listen. But we also don't have to talk about that at all. We could just get together and pray for each other and pray for our families and our other concerns, because we both love the Lord. And just kind of give her a healthy way forward. Now, she might walk away in a huff and say, no, you're sleeping with the whore of Babylon, and shame on you, and you're going to hell, and I don't want to have anything to do with you. I mean, that's on her, okay? But you've opened the door to a healthier relationship and shown a way forward. And then it's up to her to walk through the door, just like Jesus holds the door open for us, but doesn't drag us kicking and screaming into a relationship with him. So don't feel the burden of trying to save the relationship. give her a healthy way forward. Show her what it means to engage in respectful conversation with you about her concerns. Offer a way to come together in your mutual love of the Lord. And then see what happens. If there's more we can do for you, don't hesitate to call us back. We also talk more about this in our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People, which is available at CatholicCounselors.com. Robin, thanks so much for the call. It was a pleasure hearing from you. Hopefully these suggestions will get you started. We're always here for you if you need more support. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you are dealing with drama in your relationships and you'd like to rewrite that script, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, or personal life in the light of God's grace. That's CatholicCounselors.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life. Have a blessed day.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.